There's Maria. There's Terry.
Morning. Afternoon.
Oh. Hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Terry.
Terry.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Dale. I don't see you yet. Oh, there you are. I can see you now.
Looking good there, Terry, in red. Looks very Santa Claus-like.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Downwards in time.
And we do have a couple attendees watching the meeting. One is Chris Brown. And yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, at this time I'll call the meeting to order. Approval of minutes of September 2nd, a while ago.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second? Keith, is that a second?
Keith, your volume isn't working. I did get your second, though. I just can't hear you.
Is your are you unmuted in the lower left-hand corner?
Yeah, it looks like he's unmuted.
Okay, we have a second. So all those in favor?
Aye.
How about raising your hand? All those in favor, raise your hand.
I'm four.
Okay. All right. It's approved unanimously. There's no public forum since there's no audience to that tonight. And council liaison report is, do we have a new liaison with new council?
Yeah, I don't think so yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, the new council members and mayor just got sworn in last night.
Uh-huh.
So I'll check on that though.
So the new mayor will make those appointments?
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's move on to planning action review. A request for a site review to allow the construction of a 2,539 square feet single story addition to the Ashland High School Science Building and a 1,249 square foot addition to the Humanities Building, which will include an elevator and restroom. The project also includes seismic retrofitting for existing structures, installation of emergency power generators, and safety enhancements, including the enclosure of the exterior hallways of the with polycarbonate cladding. I guess I didn't mention the project name, which is obviously the high school. Chris Brown, architect. So could we have a staff report, please?
You might want to do ex parte site visit.
Okay, sorry, been a while. Is there anyone on the commission who's had any conflict of interest or ex parte communication with the applicants?
No.
Okay. Hearing none. Staff report, please.
Okay. I wasn't, since I know Chris Brown is here to present, I'm not going to kind of do double duty and call up the plans and everything because I think he's going to do that. But as Chair Sjostrom said in the description of the project, it's really working on two buildings. One is the science building, which is kind of close to the parking lot you can see from Siskiyou, and then the humanities building on Mountain. And the interesting thing about this project in terms of the historic district is the historic district line just kind of cuts through the corner of the science building, but it doesn't include the humanities building. So in terms of the historic commission's review, the science building project is subject to the historic district design standards. However, the humanities building is not, because it's technically not in the historic district. So just to explain that, and I think that Chris might have a map that shows that. If not, I can call one up. So I'm going to, unless you want me to do anything else, I'll go ahead and, or if you have any questions, I'll go ahead and have promote them so they can present. Is that okay?
Any other questions? Okay, let's go with Chris Brown.
Let me see if I can figure out how to do this. There we go.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay. So Chris, there's another person listed as an attendee. Do you have someone else, or is it?
So we did forward along to the school district the invite just so they could attend if they saw fit, but they don't need to be promoted. We'll be doing the presentation.
Okay.
Yep. I'm Chris Brown with Architect Design and Architecture. Jane Alexander is along as well as Jerome White. And so this is our team that's been working on the project here. We will jump right in and share our screen here. As Maria mentioned, the new proposed southwest corner of the science building is the area that is in the historic overlay. And so as everyone, I assume, can see the screen that we're sharing here, this is the corner of the existing science building that we're proposing to infill with a new science laboratory. These are our proposed elevation renderings of that corner, if you will. And this is the view from Siskiyou Boulevard at the existing RVTD bus stop. I think this gives good context from the street view, if you will, of that corner. And really, our hope here is to, you know, work with the existing character of the science building in terms of the color scheme and massing, and also address some of the school district's concerns, primarily around security. This west to east corridor here off the corner of Morse and Siskiyou is quite the transit route for after hours and also during school hours, transient traffic, as well as just kind of community members that feel like it's an open campus that they can just walk through. So we're trying to address that with a couple of our sort of architectural elements here in terms of this screening, this wire mesh screening that we're using on this corridor. It's currently an open corridor right now that sort of leads right through the heart of campus. And so as the school district's been incrementally improving their campuses, one of the primary items in the bond language was safety and security. And so this is trying to speak to that security issue there in creating a safe entry point and exit point from the campus. The following elevation, I think, shows our material choices that we're proposing here. We have a ground-based masonry veneer to work with the lower 8 feet of the proposed addition here. This will transition into the existing masonry veneer as well of the existing building. And then looking at an integral color stucco for this upper portion, as well as some glazing here. And then The use of the polycarbonate cladding at this hallway or this exterior enclosed hallway corridor to just allow for natural light, as well as the perforated steel cladding in lieu of a fencing material, we felt like this really does reference more of the representation of the school colors, and it's definitely an improvement from a chain link fencing or something along those lines. There's obviously concerns about institutional security and how quickly and easily that can start to feel similar to or akin to a prison type of format if it's not addressed properly as part of the architecture. So that's really our hope there, is that we're kind of working with creating a precedent and a language here that does communicate with the campus and reflect a set of standards, if you will, for future development as well, as that campus security issue is addressed down the road. Any other?
Yeah, there's an elevation of the south face as well.
Yeah.
One more.
Great. And then here are a couple other elevations that we have of both the south face of the building. Not much changing there in terms of the architecture, other than this screened kind of corridor enclosure and the transition to the upper roof deck area. The upper roof deck area, I can speak to it right here. We are proposing to utilize that as a rooftop teaching terrace for the humanities department. They're on the third floor of that building. It's a library and counseling as well. And so our hope is that we're able to create a vegetated buffer and outdoor classroom, if you will, on top of the new addition. And then you can see here as well, using an ivy to act as a vegetated wall system on that enclosed corridor as well, to help soften some of the aesthetic there of that perforated metal screen.
Chris, what's the arrow finishes? Is that storage for classroom materials or?
So it's two things. It's essentially our mechanical enclosure. And then we're also proposing to utilize the polycarbonate material there as a screening or a teaching wall also for whiteboards or a projector.
So is that polycarbonate material? It looks as if from the picture you showed that it's translucent but not transparent.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were two selections really. There's like almost a frosted material that looks very similar to like a sandblasted glass. It's almost a white surface, and then this is the translucent, which does have some level of transparency to it. It's about a 40% transmittal in terms of opacity.
Yeah, I think it's a good place to keep things physically open in that way.
Yeah, natural light has been a real driving decision in our design and trying to make sure that, you know, in terms of closing off some of these corridors, making sure that we don't create dark, dead-end spaces. That's definitely been a desire of the staff and teaching faculty as well.
Yeah, and just out of general curiosity about the corridors are, with COVID in mind, are you providing abundant ventilation?
Absolutely. Yep. And that, yeah, there's really no impact there to airflow whatsoever. It essentially transitions back to an open corridor right past, you can see where, let me zoom in on this lower image here. You can see essentially right where that perforated screening dog legs up into the district administration building here. So all that corridor essentially remains open. So there's really no enclosure per se in terms of treated air or anything along those lines.
And the metal screening is probably 50% open.
Yes.
So are your elevations representative of the openness of that 50%?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, because it looks quite transparent.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Then I had a question about the masonry block. So it looks like you've chosen to go to a ground block and a different material than the existing material. Is that just for contrast and setting the new addition off?
It is, yes. Subtly, we wanted to still reference the existing architecture, but we also want to give it a presence of its own in terms of, you know, representing it as a contemporary addition, but still kind of paying homage to the existing building as well. And being that, you know, the existing fluted brick that, or the fluted masonry that was in the original building there, not quite being able to obtain the exact same material there. So we do feel like the ground face castle white does give a nice clean look to that while still appealing to the tradition of the existing building.
So just out of curiosity too, what is the year built for the science building?
1968.
The first floor was built in 68-69, and the second floor that you're seeing there was built in 87.
So technically then it's a historic building.
The science building, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We actually found some really amazing photographs that the district had archived. Terry, I think you might enjoy looking at some of these. That they go back quite a way to the original high school campus.
Built by Droid, right?
Built by Droid originally, yep. And then even preceding that, there's some really incredible historical black and white photos there of some of the original campus, which are very impressive.
Yeah, the original building was built about 1912, and then when they tore it down, the new buildings are like around 1970, somewhere in there, like you said.
So that original building must be the one we have all these black and white photos of, a building with ivy all over the face of it, and that must have been the original building from 1912.
Right. Yeah, that's where I went to school. But that's the old building.
Wow. It's pretty impressive. I don't think that anyone would be tearing that down nowadays if they had it.
Yeah. I think the issue is, though, that we see it in Medford, is those buildings are not seismically sound.
And that is the portion of our scope, as Maria mentioned, on the humanities building. It's primarily seismic driven.
Right. But I think it looks good, you know, as far as compatibility, I think the existing building is a little bit different than an older historic building. So it's a blend of materials, I think, looks fine.
I think by the national standards, that would be the preferred way to do it, actually. To set it off a little bit from the original.
Yeah, I think that applies better in this for this building.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have something to look at now too, because it's a pretty boring concrete building.
Right.
But it is the historic, or becoming historic, and just interesting to think back about that period in time and the architecture of that time.
Yeah, great.
So any other questions on this aspect of the project? All right.
Thank you. I'll stop sharing and turn the table back over to you, Marie.
So in terms of the commission's discussion, do you want to keep Chris and his team available, or?
Well, I have a question just about process. Are we only looking at the science building because that's one of the districts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wouldn't mind asking a question about the humanities building. Can that be part of this? Just as just comparing the packet of last time to this time, I see quite a number of changes, or at least a major change with the humanities building. Can we want to keep that as a separate issue, or?
Well, I think it's up to the applicant. If they want to share that just for informational purposes, they could, but the Historic Commission probably should stay away from commenting or you could make any recommendations on that piece of it.
Not make any?
Yeah. Because it's not in the Historic District overlay, so yeah. It's not subject to the standards.
Right.
But I don't know if you want to put that question out to Chris and his team, or?
Yeah, if the commission would be okay with that, I would just like to ask a question regarding the cladding on the humanities building, if that's all right. Anybody have objection to that?
We're fine with it.
Okay. So, Chris, I see that there's been a little evolution in terms of the materials on the humanities building facing Mountain Street, and it used to be a combination of the perforated metal and the polycarbonate and kind of horizontal undulating lines. Mm-hmm. And it appears now that you're proposing to keep the building pretty much wrapped in polycarbonate rather than having all the contrasting layers and levels.
Yes, correct. And so what occurred, Dale, with that, and it's not in this packet. I can pull it up, I think, in our... It's not in here either. Okay. I think what occurred with that is as we were looking at the removal of the existing precast guardrails, the contractor, the cost of removing those, it's surrounded by these solid concrete guardrails at each level. And as the contractor evaluated the cost of removal for those guardrails, it became very evident that the investment in removing those guardrails was going to become a major cost point in the process. Uh-huh. And as well as time, each guardrail needing to be disassembled individually and then pulled away with a crane. And so what we've actually sought to do here is encapsulate those existing guardrails with a sort of curtain wall infrastructure that you're seeing in this image here. You can see the existing guardrails beyond the cladding and essentially lock them in place, if you would, so that in the case of a seismic event, they don't collapse or fall on the floors below.
So are those steel vertical members then attached to both rails and the roof then?
Correct, they are, yes.
Stop them from falling out?
Yes, they are. And you can see here too, it's a scalloped assembly. We are still at the north and south utilizing the perforated steel screening for security purposes. But essentially encapsulating these guardrails with that curtain wall assembly and then nesting each subsequent layer to create, obviously, I think we talked about Dale, protection and security for students from potential self-harm on that third story there. The fact that, you know, there's opportunity for a student to potentially jump off that story and cause significant self-harm and the district wanting to alleviate that, as well as any students climbing up onto the roofs, which has been a subsequent security issue in the past as well.
Uh-huh. Okay, that was my only question. So thank you for entertaining it.
Absolutely. And then just for your reference as well, Dale, the new elevator core for accessibility there to the building, you know, really working with, again, relating to the existing masonry of that time period with the structure as well. So,
yep. Great. Yeah, looks good. Okay, is there any other questions of the applicants? Hearing none, and we'll close the public hearing and have a discussion.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with it. You know, it should be compatible to itself, the building, you know, the new part. So I think it looks fine.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I agree.
I think it fits in well. I think it's well designed. It doesn't entirely mimic what's there, but enhances what's there. And so I think it's a good addition. And I think the high school, as opposed to the historic district in general, is kind of an entity unto itself. And so as long as it is compatible with the existing high school architecture, I think it just works fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, a lot of the schools and the newer schools have, you know, great contemporary design. I think this will be a nice corner addition and certainly a feature from the intersection at Mountain. And so, excuse me, not Mountain, is it Elida? No, not Elida. Avery, no, what is it?
Mars? I think it's Mars.
Mars.
Yeah. So anyway.
The slowest light in Ashland.
Yeah.
It's called traffic light.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite refreshing for that corner. So that's great.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll actually have school again in a year or so.
We'll have plenty of time to do the work. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, any other comments or a motion?
Oh, I think. Keith, you're on mute. You're muted. There we go. Maybe?
We had him earlier. Mm-hmm.
We can't hear you, Keith.
Can anybody read lips?
A little bit.
So apparently we're still having technical difficulties there in the Swank House. Any other members like to make a motion or any more discussion? So hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve planning action PAT1 2020-000136 as submitted. I think it's a great addition and I think should be approved.
Great. Second the motion.
Okay, any more discussion? Comments? Okay. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Looks unanimous. So great. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for your presentation. Nice work, and good luck on the timeline. So are there any other commissioners that have any other items they'd like to talk about other than historic preservation, which is next on the agenda?
Keith, maybe you want to, you can chat, you can type whatever it is that you want to put in, maybe that might help.
We turn off the chat function when it's a public meeting, but I could turn it on.
I just got a message from Beverly She says, "Hey, Bill, are you on the AHC meeting? I must have the wrong webinar ID."
Yeah, I that's what I was going to ask. She sent us a message too. Did anybody, you're not supposed to have to put a webinar ID in. Did any of you have to?
No. Okay. I just clicked on the link.
Yeah, I'll email her.
Okay.
Maybe I'll, she had trouble last time too. Maybe I'll do I'll do a Zoom meeting with her and see if we can get her to look.
So you want us to bring up other things?
Well, I was going to, we do have, Regan, do you have anything to say about historic preservation or?
I think I'm going to let Maria talk about that. But okay. I know that Keith had something he wanted to talk about, but he's got technical difficulties. So I don't know if he wants to send an email later about it or maybe talk to Maria about it too. So.
Or Keith, do you want to call me and I'll put you on speaker?
Good idea.
Hi.
How's that section?
Is that bad feedback?
Yes, I turned my volume down.
Sounds like a shot in my movie.
Can you have your phone closer to you, maybe? Can you speak directly into your phone?
Will this work or
yeah, we're gonna, it sounds good when you first talk, but then we hear it. Keith, did you have something you wanted to ask about?
Better.
That's good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It still does the echo.
Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and speak, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, what I wanted to talk about was this. Kind of ridiculous.
So Keith, I did enable the chat function. Do you think that, see at the bottom, if you scroll in the middle, there's a little thing that says chat?
Yeah.
And that, you can type in.
Oh, that's long.
Okay, sorry.
You know, yeah, this is what I wanted to talk about. It's probably too difficult to do with this annoying setup. So,
go ahead. It's working.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to, I'm going to turn my own volume down. Maybe that would help. Will that be better?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Because we're in the Historic Commission. And, you know, historic in our point of view goes back to about 1850. And I think that it might be a good idea, you know, through talking to my daughter, who works for New Mexico Immigration Law Center, she's working on projects with indigenous peoples. And she brought up to me that, you know, it might be a good idea for us as a historic commission to, just as the Shakespeare Festival has had Indigenous Land Acknowledgement, you know, a proclamation at the beginning of our meetings to do the same thing, you know, to acknowledge the fact that we live in areas that were previously peopled by civilizations before colonization. And I think that it could be a community building endeavor. And I know that I heard that the city was contemplating doing something like this, but kind of got into some kind of trouble because they didn't include Native tribes in the discussion. And so I just wanted to bring this up as a possibility, because it just seems that, you know, it could be helpful to our community and to the communities of Native Americans to, you know, include them in our awareness of their place in our history. And I could read this little blurb here that I got from Delaney. She sent me this article, and it says, the purpose of these statements is to show respect for Indigenous peoples and recognize their enduring relationship to the land. Practicing acknowledgement can also raise awareness about histories that are often suppressed and forgotten. And I think that as a historic commission, it might be appropriate for us to, you know, look a little further back than our pioneer roots and try to open up the awareness of our community, you know, to a deeper appreciation of history.
I think that's very well said. I think about the history of Ashland and the site of Ashland Mill and the archaeological dig that, you know, indicates that there is a whole civilization that was here before we were on this very site.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to start this kind of discussion. It seems like it really needs to be a bigger citywide discussion. But as far as the historic commissions, starting amongst ourselves, trying to become aware of what the possibilities are with this, it might be a good place to start and to find a connection with local tribes or something like that to see if they would be interested in helping establish this kind of a idea.
I think it's a great idea. A really, really great idea.
Sounds interesting. Now, when the Applegates came through in 1846, the Indian population was here. I don't know when it ended or, you know, moved, but it would be good to explore that. Now, what's the end result of this project?
Well, just minimally, I think that the idea of it is to inform our community that there is a deeper relationship historically than just when our pioneer forefathers showed up. And I think that it could, I think the idea in some of the little bit of reading that I've done about it is that the idea is that as Western Americans, you know, like Anglo-Saxon Americans, pioneer people that came here, you know, we have a lot, to be grateful for. For what we have been able to create and possess out of taking away this land from these people, and the acknowledgement is trying to build relationships back with those people so that they're involved in our community on different levels. You know, I think that it's kind of like the whole Black Lives Matter thing. As far as just trying to be more aware of how we all fit together rather than a history that's written by our civilization that, you know, over paints over what came before.
That sounds good.
I think other localities near us have been able to incorporate that Native American heritage better than we have, you know, that somehow it was extinguished here. But if you go a little north of here, the Cow Creek Indians, or if you go south of here in Siskiyou County, or west of here in Klamath, there is a larger Native American presence. I just think that Native American presence has been extinguished here in the Rogue Valley for the most part. Doesn't mean that we can't honor that and somehow bring it back.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Sorry, Keith, I came in late to the conversation. But I think it's a idea definitely worth pursuing for more conversations, maybe before you come back to the commission with another, you know, that you could find out what people are interested in, the people that are interested in working on this idea with you. Mm-hmm. And then we develop a kind of a proposal or something. Yeah.
Well, I'd be happy to do more research on it. I just wanted to bring it up and see if there is any interest in pursuing this. And, you know, maybe I can talk to Maria about it.
Sure.
Over the phone or something.
It sounds like a good idea. And it'd be nice to explore more before all the fighting, you know, their culture and the history. I think it's excellent.
Yeah.
Good project.
It'd be good. So Maria, thank you.
Yeah, great. That sounds like a great idea. Maria, do you have is there any historical context to this in the city? Has it been part or anything that would prevent something like that? Or has it been tried before?
I'm not sure what you mean when you say something like that. I mean, you know, at the state level, the State Historic Preservation Office's, the umbrella includes archaeology, mm-hmm. which often, you know, gets into all kinds of the cultural past. So I think it comes under that umbrella. So I would probably suggest starting there and seeing what they have. You know, I mean, the proclamation idea probably would have to research a little more. In my experience, that's proclamations are done by the city council.
Right.
I just don't know. I'd have to look into that a little more. You know, we kind of have our standard ones that we do every year, like for Historic Preservation Week and Arbor Day. But I don't really know how a new one kind of gets generated. So that might, you know, just take a little looking into.
Great. That'd be great.
Sounds good.
So Maria, do you have, did you have some comments regarding Historic Preservation Week?
Yeah, well, so Regan and I have been talking about it because, you know, Regan is so organized and said, you know, this is the time we usually start each year. What are we going to do? And so I did some kind of legwork on the management side, and I don't think we really have approval to spend staff time on doing the normal event, since we just don't know by the time we got to spring if we could really have in-person kind of activities. It's just such an unknown. It's really hard to spend a lot of staff resources on it. But what Regan and I were wondering is if the commission would be interested in having an award ceremony, you know, electronic award ceremony, perhaps that covered last year and this year, since we didn't get to do it last year. So it'd be kind of like we would go through all the process like you usually do of looking at projects and picking projects. And then instead of meeting at Pioneer Hall, we would have a webinar like this that people could watch and go through and give people the awards. It would just be an electronic format. So we wanted to throw that idea out there and see what the commission thought and if you're interested in it. I mean, I guess the alternative would be delaying it another year to see what happens in 2022.
And it gets lost, I think.
Is it set that it has to be in May? I think if maybe we would hopefully point towards the fall of this year, maybe by then we might be able to have a award ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two things come to mind. I think that, and Regan can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we've historically done it to coordinate with the national historic preservation efforts. The thing just in terms of planning and legwork, as you all know, because you work hard on it, it takes about 6 months, 5-6 months to get ready for it. So say we did it in September, we'd really have to start in April, probably at the latest. And I guess we could revisit it at that point, but if it was like it is now, again, we probably won't get the go-ahead in terms of spending staff time on it, you know, if we don't know for sure we can have all the in-person activities.
But the electronic version actually sounds good, you know, to try that. I think if we, you know, put this off, that maybe it won't get done, you know. So it's, but the idea of covering both for this year and the last year, and to do it electronically, I think is a good idea. And then the next year after that, then we can make a decision, you know, when the pandemic is over with, because it might, the pandemic, the way things have been going, it could be a lot longer than, you know, May. It still could be going on. And who knows, with all the politics the way they are, that no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're just trying to brainstorm ideas of something we could do to give the commission some options. If you wanted to wait another year, like I said, we could look at, you know, doing that too. So
but,
there's a lot of alternatives at this point.
Now, what would be the output if we did a digital one, as far as connecting with people, as you mentioned?
Well, you know, we'd kind of have to go ahead and contact people, award winners, ahead of time. And I would schedule a meeting like this and see what people were interested in attending and who wasn't, you know. But it would be a lot like this. We would probably call each award winner in, you know, kind of like Chris Brown and his team came in, and the commission could decide how many people you wanted to have visible. We could limit that. You know, and we could share, just like Chris shared his plans, we could share a photo of the project, you know, but people can watch even this meeting just like they can, you know, on their computer, like any other meeting. So, and it would be recorded. So if people wanted to go back and watch it later, they could see that. We could post it on the city website.
Yeah, I think putting it on the city website is fairly limiting, but if we reach out to the media, we might be able to get some exposure to the TV and newspapers as well.
Yeah. certainly we could do that. I mean, I guess the thing, I think, as much as the publicity, I think it means a lot to the people who get the awards.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's something to think about. And I don't know, you know, if it's 3 years after your project, I don't know how most people would feel about that. You know, I'm not sure. I guess one thing we could do, if you don't feel like kind of deciding yet, then Regan, you can give me a thumbs up or thumbs down, is, I mean, we probably have the list of projects already from last year because we got kind of far. We could put together the ones that have happened till now and just see what the pool looks like and how big it is.
It seems like last year was fairly sparse. And although I think as historic commission members, we've been a little out of touch this year, it seems like there haven't been that many significant projects this year either.
Yeah, there's been a lot of activity outside of the historic district. Development activity is even higher than it was before. So I just want to make that clear. But I would agree. I haven't actually looked at it, but it feels like we have gotten much fewer planning actions and building permits in the historic district. I don't know why that is, because I don't think remodels are all that much down, but I probably should check that. Doesn't Regan, do you know? I don't think the remodel building permits numbers are down, or residential.
No, the residential permits are up, but I just don't know how to gauge it for the historic district. I just started the list today going through, and I've just gotten through the ARUs, and it's pretty, I mean, there's going to be quite a few. So if we want to, like, once I get the list done, we can take a look at it and see.
So there are a lot of things that perhaps we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. Or just from last year that, got pushed off to this year.
Yeah.
So that weren't done by the time we were getting ready to make our decisions. So
did last year's people get their awards, their certificates and things?
Mm-mm. They did not.
Well, last year.
So you're still hanging on to them.
I'm still hanging on, waiting. I haven't even done the awards or anything because everything was just okay. So
yeah, no, I'm not complaining. I'm
crazy.
Just wondering.
Yeah. And yeah. Having worked with clients, people are looking for recognition, like people who are doing the right things and are abiding by the historic rules and so on. I think they genuinely want to have some recognition for what they've done.
They do. You're right. Yes.
So if I could chime in, you know, not having the review board, we don't get to see a lot of the projects, and people don't come in for comments. I feel somewhat separate from what's been going on in the historic districts. Now, with a list and, you know, whittling it down, we could do something with that, I suppose. But, you know, the logistics of trying to do this over Zoom as a group, looking at photos, and, you know, when we do that in a meeting, we're passing around photos, and, you know, it's quite a process. I think it'd be quite awkward to try to do it here and to make accommodations to do it other ways. I'm thinking about even taking pictures, and, you know, we couldn't do it as in groups of two, or we probably shouldn't be doing it in groups of two. And I just find this medium not very personal. And I think it almost feels a little tacky in a way. I don't know why, but so in a contrasting difference to what we do at the community center or wherever we might have our meetings. So I guess my first reaction would be, I think recognition for the last year and this year and maybe next year to try to do it a year from May might be more appropriate, and you know, we can cherry pick.
I disagree.
Okay, that's fine. So that's basically what my feeling is at this point.
I agree with Dale.
I tend to agree with Terry in that I think that whatever we can do to make life feel a little bit more normal in our current situation is helpful for almost everyone.
Right. I think it's good for us to do something, and we can figure it out, you know, modify things. But I think it's important to do it and not wait.
So how about we just do it for last year and save this year and next year for a year from now? So we're just doing catch up for 1 year instead of two.
Well, we're doing this year and then the last year. So two of them. I think waiting another year, I don't like that. We need to keep active on it and to work together as a commission, I think, is important.
Yeah. I think to remain relevant, we have to be timely in our actions and in our awards and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been living like a hermit. You know, I've only left my house maybe twice a month or once a month. So this would be good to get out again and start doing
that. If I can just interject, I think Terry's just comment is, I hear that all the time. I know people are like, oh, I'm so tired of Zoom meetings. But a lot of people, when you start talking to them, it's like, it's really nice to see people. You know, that's like the social aspect of it is, I think, fulfilling something for a lot of people is my sense. So not everyone, you know, but I hear a lot of positive things, at least from our staff, yeah, when we have meetings.
So I get a mixed kind of feeling from some friends. They appreciate Zoom and what it can do, and others just want to be together. You know, as human beings, we crave being together and talking and touching and all of those things that are so human. And it's been a difficult year. This Christmas, Christmas Eve, we celebrated at my house. We had a few of the family members over, opened up the garage and put out a patio heater, and it was raining buckets and the wind was howling. But we had a little Christmas tree in the garage and chairs 6 feet apart, and we celebrated Christmas. And that was particularly important to those in my family who crave being together. And it's probably a Christmas we'll all remember. But I think it's important to persist and persevere in whatever ways we can, whether it's Zoom or meeting in small groups to further the work we do. I think it's important to do those things. And I've been missing having those interactions, those weekly meetings, review boards, and so on.
Regan, how many awards were there for last year? Because there really weren't very many, like Bill was saying.
I think there was maybe four or five.
So it was smaller than previous years. And I suspect it's going to be a small number again this year.
I actually haven't determined that. I just started the list today.
Yeah.
I'll know more in about a week.
Yeah.
As soon as I can get through everything.
Yeah. I think
it might be easier than normal if it's not a huge number of awards to begin with, if we can put two together, because I hear a pretty strong sentiment for most of all recognizing the good stewardship of historical properties. And so I think if you guys started this out though, Maria, saying it's the staff time was going to be an issue. Does that, is there any, is that going to affect whether or not we do 2 years and do it by digitally?
No, it's more that we don't have approval to spend staff time planning an in-person event if we don't know we can have one.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so that's what I was wondering about. So it, that ceases to be an issue if we do it in this format.
Right.
Okay.
Well, could we do it outside with masks on, properly distanced in May?
I think the city administrator's emergency declaration still says we can't have in-person meetings, but I can check.
Well, even if we don't have in-person contact, I think reaching out to the newspapers and television could actually make it bigger than what we usually do anyway.
So I think we should go with it. I think that's important in a scaled down version, but I think it'd be good for us and to the winners.
Regan, I have a question. Did the write-ups get done last year? And then we just decided.
I think so. I can't check right now because if I check, then I'm going to get kicked off Zoom. So, but I'm pretty sure that most of them got done.
Right. So we do have those.
We do have them. Yeah. Yeah.
That discussion. Mm-hmm. And part of maybe Piper's idea of getting last year's this year, they'll be a year late. And just in terms of the number, the amount of work to try that and see how it goes on Zoom. And then who knows, in another year, we could do 2 years together and make it much more.
And in hindsight, I probably should have gotten the awards done and got them to the mayor then. Because now the new mayor's, well, I mean, I guess it's not a big deal, but
no, it's not.
I can mail everybody their awards before the ceremony. So everybody has theirs to kind of show while they're in the meeting with us.
The other thing I'm just thinking out loud about is, I mean, if it is delayed by a year or even 2 years, does that make the award any less special? I mean, I think it'd be a little less special on Zoom, but if you had to wait, it's always a surprise to people who get them when we call them and say you've won an award. And whether that happens a year later or 2 years later, it's still quite an honor for both the applicant, I mean, the owner and the designer builder. And I don't know, that's the thought.
But I think it's good to get the message out, you know, the fact that we're getting awards and said we could go for it and figure out what works, you know, make it easy for ourselves, but come up with things. And I still have to finish the picture, so I got to work on that. But do it as an experiment, see what happens.
Well, what about just doing the 5 awards in the spring on Zoom like this or whatever we have to do? And then is it required that we have, well, you just said the reason we have it in May is for the national aspect of it, but why wouldn't we be able, if the fall things get more tolerable for interacting in a meeting personally, that we could do it before May, couldn't we? This year's, because it sounds like Dale, your concern is you haven't seen a lot of the projects, right?
Yeah, it feels like we've had no activity since March, you know.
Yeah, I do understand that.
We're not integrated with them and trying to catch up with them and trying to do it all via Zoom or somehow try to come up with, you know, our choices for new ones that we haven't even looked at. So often that we see them, you know, there's a lot of projects that went there, that were full applicants that we would have looked at besides just the review board that we haven't seen at all.
Right.
That's not happening. So it's like, we don't know what's out there. And to educate ourselves and kind of catch up, you know, it's so different than having commented on the project, both in the review board and then again at a public meeting, if it's a planning action. So,
well, the,
it feels like that's so long.
Yeah. And I am sympathetic with that point of view. I wonder if we couldn't just try, in terms of the interest, to not let things go another year, that we try an electronic meeting that does give the awards that we all did have good discussions about last year, and do that in May, and then say we'll be catching up in the future.
On it's good, yes.
Because I think the argument for the, again, I come back to the argument for really wanting to recognize in a somewhat timely manner the work that has been done, that we all felt good about evaluating. And I thought we had a good discussion, because we were pretty careful about not just putting more awards forth just because we didn't have very many. We felt like it was important to do this. I can remember the conversation that we want to make it so that it's really meritorious kind of thing, right? And so I feel good about the awards we had before, and then there'd be time for Regan. And did you say, Terry, you still have pictures to take on those?
Yeah, a few, but yeah.
So we could just go ahead, go forward, and then everyone's aware that the pandemic has forced a lot of changes, and then we'll just catch up when we, maybe next year we do two sets. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that.
But we still have an award is what I'm saying, right, Terry.
But let's find out how many places qualify for this year.
We could do that too, yeah.
And then decide maybe at our next meeting.
But you understand what Terry's saying too, is we haven't had any conversations about any properties for months and months.
Right, but it's like riding a bicycle. You know, we should know how to do it.
Right.
I would say find out what qualifies. You know, what the new list is, the possibilities and the states there. It might be that there's not that many that would qualify.
Well, even if I have five or six that I need to view, I could spend an afternoon and see all of those properties. You know, if we were doing it in teams, we would go out together, but we could still be teams, but just doing it separately and conversing about how we feel.
Yeah, and take pictures, and then we could see it, you know, see the best ones. But I think it's good for us to do something. And
right. I'm in favor of doing something. It's just that I'm in favor of doing one set of awards for now.
That we've already got the background with. And
yeah. But
I'm also concerned about staff time. I mean, we're going to need to figure out how
that's all right.
For the second set, and making it that much bigger of a deal seems a little inappropriate, but I guess that's up to staff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm okay with taking baby steps. Let's see what we have right now.
Yeah. But find out what the new ones are, if there are any, you know, and take it from there and not decide this meeting and wait a month.
Okay, I'll get a list together and make sure it's in your packet for next month.
Yeah, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea.
Sure.
To evaluate the decision whether or not to go forward with this year's
right.
award. Okay.
With the awards for 2020.
Sense of the volume, how many you're talking
right.
about.
Right,
right. So we would take that list that you'll come up with, Regan, and evaluate it during a Zoom meeting, or not ahead of time, I don't think.
No, I think that the list is just to, for you to kind of make a final decision on what you're talking about. Do you just have the electronic award ceremony address 2020?
Right.
Or how many things are on the list, and do you want to tackle adding another year or not?
Right.
We'll decide that, yeah. Another question.
Or you could just vote and decide now, but, you know, it's what the commission wants to do.
Yeah, I think we should go with it. Now, on this one planning action we saw, they showed pictures of the work. Can you do that on Zoom? Like, if...
Yeah.
Like, one, so we could see the choices. We'll do it that way. But, so I think we should go with it and add a few, you know.
If there's a lot of properties, though, that may be quite a bit of work. So, so we may have to weed. I don't know if Marie and I want to get together and weed out the ones. I don't know, but yeah. It could be a lot of properties that we have to pull up on Zoom.
Yeah. Then. So let's.
Oh yeah, I think I get a sense of. I think the list is just to show you numbers. We couldn't go through them all at the next meeting.
Right. Okay. If there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought you were asking generally, can we show photos during a meeting? Which the answer is yes.
Right. But if there's too many, it's
it'll take forever. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the thing is that photos could be put out beforehand for us to review as well.
Well, we don't have the time to go take photos of it if it's, you know, 40 properties or whatever. I think what Regan and I are just trying to get a sense of, are we talking like 10, you know, or is it, you know, 30?
Yeah. Well, if I have a list, I can go and take pictures.
That's true.
Carrie would as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to butt in here and make a suggestion after what I've heard. I like Beverly's idea of maybe doing this year, because we already had them written up. We know the projects. I'm concerned about creating any more staff time for trying to look at the 40 properties, because we can't just look at them without assigning them and following up on them and that sort of thing. I think we could do a Zoom meeting in May during Preservation Week or month, and we'll look at the five that we already completed. We know them, they're done right. And that'll be a little baby step for a Zoom meeting. And rather than leaving it open till next month and having more discussion about it, I just think, you know, this is pandemic. Let's just delay it. Everybody's going to understand in May of next year, a year from now, or a year and 5 months from now, that there'll be twice as many awards. Maybe they will cherry pick them and there won't be as many, but I just think that trying to do too much at this point is not a wise choice. And I would, just to be clear, so we don't have any more discussion, I'd like to make a motion to that effect and see if there's an agreement.
I'll second that emotion. I'll second that emotion. But I think the importance is that we're keeping faith with having awards by doing something. So I think it's more important that we do something, like you're suggesting, Dale.
Yeah, and I agree. It's more important to do something.
Could you clarify
I think, I'm sorry, Terry, what did you just ask?
Could you clarify what the motion is, what the plan, what we want to do?
So what I would say is that we have all the information for the awards from last year, which just didn't go because of COVID. They're written up, would need to be made and signed, and then we approach a Zoom meeting for those awards. That would be the minimum amount of staff time that we could ask of them. Unless we get a veto from Maria and Regan, because they're adding to their workload, I'd be open to delaying all 3 years to next year. But I think this is a compromise that we could keep it going. It's simple for us. Hopefully it'd be simple for Regan and Maria, and we could just move forward that way.
So just do the last year's then.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's important to do something so that.
That's what I
do. So right. We're going to present the awards for 2019 this May 2020 at an electronic Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
what I've got. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, I think it would be 2020 for 2021, Regan.
Oh, right.
I was just going to say, wait a minute.
Why did I even say we're in 2020? Okay, 2020. Sorry.
I just feel like we've been in a continuum.
Where am I?
I don't think it should be an awful lot of work, Regan, because we already selected the properties, did the write-ups. That's I know correct. I did a write-up, and so I wouldn't think that would involve a huge amount of staff time if we just concentrate on the five we've already selected.
Right.
So probably the thing that's going to take time is, like Bill was saying, if we do press releases, that all takes time. We hang the banner. We do a proclamation. Setting up meetings and administering this and posting on the website takes time. I'm not saying we can't do it, but I don't think it's not any time. It's going to.
But it's certainly less of use. It's certainly, hopefully, less use of your time than if we did a brand new set of properties for this year's awards. I mean, the point is, most of the work is done. Would you say, Regan? I mean, it's just a matter of printing up things.
I just have to get the awards ready. And we just have to do the media stuff and set up the Zoom meeting. And
so does that sound onerous?
No, I mean, it sounds great. Yeah. I mean, I think I can make it work. So
Maria, how about from your point of view? It sounds like, do we need to have all the pomp and circumstance around the media and that sort of thing? It's like, isn't it really for the people who show up at those meetings, and it's really your friends and the builder and the, and I'm just wondering if you could even keep it simpler. Maybe it's simpler to do it all in one meeting, but, we could do an award each month. And just invite 4, 5, 6 people and not have 30 hanging on. And
mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's to sort of do a webinar like this. Uh-huh. It's probably less work to just do it once.
Okay.
When you set it up like we're doing this meeting, as many people who want to watch can watch. So,
Well, maybe for the next meeting, you and Regan as staff could present what you think is a pared down version of public relations tasks related to the meeting. For example, we don't probably need a banner if it's going to be on a webinar, but maybe some press releases or something. You know what I'm saying? A reduced amount. Attention.
Every year we do some sort of press release
right
in the paper, so it's advertised. It's not
that's important,
and I think that's still important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I was just referencing, I think Maria said earlier there was a lot of steps involved, and maybe wouldn't have to be that, but anyway, I think the motion is that we do 2020 awards that we have spent time working on, and the work is done from the commission. And if it's possible for you as a staff to say how best to present that and advertise that for May of this year, that would be helpful.
I think that's a good idea. And I think, we should leave it up to staff to decide how much time they want to put on it, If it's simple as just having one Zoom meeting with no banner, we're not making brochures. We're not having tours, all that kind of stuff. But, I think that what should dictate is staff time and their ability to do it and not feel pressured any more than the minimal.
Right.
Because we don't have anything to do. We did our work, essentially. Terry would have to take pictures, I guess, but maybe they're already, pictures already taken, I guess.
No big deal.
Yeah, well, so, I think they're already taken, aren't they?
Yeah. Maybe.
So could we leave it up to staff to decide the minimal presentation from their point of view and agree to just do last year's and wait for 2 years for the next two?
Or do it next year, do the for this newest one. So it'd be right 2 years. So, but we don't skip a year as far as doing the presentation. We skipped last year, right? Mm-hmm. Normal.
This May will be 2020.
Yeah.
And the next May will be 21 and 22.
Right.
Right, yeah. So go with that. So, but it's important, I think, to do it just to get the advertising out and just that people are aware of it, you know.
I mean, maybe just as simple as the banner, you know, is all the advertising we need, just so people, wow, look at that.
Yeah. And, you know, you'll be mailing out the awards then. So that simplifies it. And,
right.
You know, but, I would say, so have you had a second then on your motion or?
We just need to vote.
Vote.
So all those in favor of that idea, leaving it up to staff to figure out a minimal approach? Those in favor? Okay, it looks like it's unanimous, but not everybody's on my screen. So. Okay, staff, does that sound okay? Maria, is that sound okay?
It's not me.
Yes, that sounds great. I was nodding. I'm sorry, I should say yes.
I'm nodding off.
Born in my gallery. All right, that sounds good. Anything else? Anybody else?
I want to ask about a property. There's a historic house on the corner of B and 8th. And all of a sudden, I knew the house. It was Annette Pugh. She was a realtor at Gateway and died about a year and a half ago. And it's an old historic house, and they've removed the entire second floor, and it's all gutted.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, they went through a planning action. I have to look up the particulars. But they also got a demolition permit and demonstrated that it was, I believe, structurally unsound.
Which, by the way, in my experience, is always justified. I mean, you can always justify that. So are you saying, Sam, that you've observed the second story is off, but Maria, are you saying that it's going to all come down?
So Dale, were you aware of this, that property?
Yeah, it was one of the first properties that we couldn't meet on in March or April. And so
could you say that again, Dale?
Pardon me?
Yeah, we can hear you. It's a little soft.
I couldn't hear.
You couldn't hear about that project?
We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, you sound fine on this end.
A little weak on this end. Can you say again?
Sure. So the it sounds like, Maria, that the project at 8th and B is a demolition. Has it been approved?
Yeah, but you know, I probably need to look it up, and like Regan's problem, if I do it right now, the meeting will end. So I can look it up and let you know at the next meeting.
Now the review board recommended keeping the house like that, of not cutting the front off or ripping the, you know, the upper story. So that wasn't what we recommended.
Yeah, you know, but you know, the demolition permit, as you all know, is separate than the from the planning action. It has its own specific set of criteria, which basically allow a historic structure to be demolished if it's demonstrated that it's structurally unsound.
Yeah. Or that it costs more to rebuild, remodel than rebuild new.
Yeah.
Economic.
But you can show it's structurally unsound. You don't have to do the economic, it's called an economic feasibility analysis.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so subjective. It could be anything.
Yes.
It's an Ashland.
Right. You're paying an engineer or an architect or somebody to tell you that this project is unsafe. And it's, you know, fairly easy to do if you want to cherry pick the issues, but that's the demolition ordinance. So I think the demolition was approved, but let's find out from Maria next month. And
yeah, and demolition was approved. I just don't know the extent of it.
Uh-huh. Well, I had read it, and they were asking for, you know, a total teardown.
I think that's what it is. But
and had a new plan that looked very similar to it, but not the detail that's there, and so. The owners chose to have a new house. The builder went along with it, and so did their demolition engineer. And so that's what I think was approved, was that there is a new house there, and it's roughly the same shape. And the location of the lot changed a little bit, I think, too. But, so
okay.
What can you say?
We can't save them all. It only makes the other ones that are historic that much more valuable.
Yeah.
And the new building is historically compatible.
I'll have to do a drive by. I haven't been aware of that project.
Okay. Any other issues, questions?
Any? Do we know anything about Granite 114 Granite?
Do you mean Marty Mastin's?
Well, that's the little cottage that was moved to the side to build the new house.
Right. So are you asking about the cottage or the house?
Well, it's still sitting there.
The cottage, yeah.
Yeah, the cottage.
My understanding is that the city, you know, where the cottage is sitting is the city's property.
Mm-hmm.
Technically part of Lithia Park. And I believe she was given a deadline to remove the cottage from the city property. I believe it was December 13th. But I haven't heard anything since then.
Right.
She did start to submit a demolition permit, but for the cottage, but hasn't, to my knowledge, completed. I think staff notified her several times of the need for new, more additional materials, but I don't believe that she finished that up. Do you know, Regan? I don't think she submitted new materials after that.
Her demolition relocation review application was incomplete the last time I've heard.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's just a sweet little cottage.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you all remember, it was... slated to be installed down below the new house that they built. And I think they decided that they didn't want to lose that much yard. And so they went away from that. And it's too bad, you know, at least they were going to save it. But we'll just have to see what happens at this point.
They went through a lot of negotiations, I think, or discussions, I probably should say, negotiations is too strong of a word, with the Parks Department, because they were attempting to purchase that additional area. But that didn't go anywhere, so.
Yeah.
It seems like they've manipulated us as a historic commission over the years that project has been.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I I would say that they've manipulated the city as well.
Agreed. Okay, anything else?
Well, the only other thing is, Keith, I'd like to talk to you more about Native American influences in our region. I know that it's a bigger issue statewide, like we see more significant states, but I would like to talk to you about that more.
I, you know, just as a sidelight, I happen to go to Seven Feathers rest stop. And, you know, I'm not sure if Cal Creek or what Indians are involved with, what Indian tribes are involved with Seven Feathers, but they had a little historic plaque in the rest stop. And it talked about the Seven Feathers, actually seven families, and they're all Anglo-Saxon or European, all settlers. And you would think it would have been seven tribes, but yeah. seven settlers who maybe part of their families were Cow Creek Indians or whatever Indians that settled there. But I was kind of shocked to see.
But it is the Cow Creek Indians, and they are a mix. They are a mix, like they're mixed European races. And Indian, but that's so true of all of the tribes in the region. Yeah. They're a mix. They can't be separated out. There's no shaking it out later. Right. And it's true, like a few years ago, going up to the state historic commission meeting in Coquille, and talking to the Chief Don Ivy of the Coquille Indians, and they're a mix too, but they carry on the traditions of the Native Americans, and they have a sensitivity towards it.
Yeah.
Because we're human beings and we tend to be mongrels, there's no purity of race. There's only people who are willing to explore and carry on that culture, to keep its significance. So I think that's why we should be looking at that here. And I think that's why it's being looked at statewide as well.
Okay, any other comments? Let's go eat dinner. Meeting adjourned. Thanks.
Beverly, please don't stand on your head next month.
Am I standing on my head?
You're upside down. Is she upside down to others?
No. She looks not upside down.
Nobody else is, but when Beverly speaks, she's upside down.
Well, wow. Not you to think that.
Right now. That's a good way to get people to pay attention.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks, staff.